Hey everybody, the Vern here. Before we begin this latest episode of Cinema Recall, just wanted to mention to you that the microphone I'm using is different than the other episodes, so it's going to be a slight change in audio. You can still understand the program, but just wanted to let you know about that before we begin. Anyways, hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you very much.
This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this another brand new episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast over at thatmomentin.com. I'm your host, The Vern, and on today's episode, we are joined by a very special guest. We are joined by none other than Chris Revell of Let's Chat with Revell and Friends. Hello, good sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. Big fan.
Very, very glad to be. Very glad that you're on the show. On today's show, me and Chris are going to get into our favorite childhood movie moments. Movies that we remembered when we were kids, and it'll be a very fun conversation. We're not going to do like a top five or any shit like that. Just having a fun, free form conversation, kind of like your great show. Let's Chat with Revell and Friends. If you're not listening to that show, folks, Chris is an amazing host, an amazing interviewer, and I'm not just saying this stuff because I was lucky to be on his show. He has had, you know what, Chris, tell people about your show here. All you can do is just praise that you are a great host, and you made your guests feel really comfortable and relaxed. It doesn't even feel like an interview. It just feels like just two people hanging out, and I'm really excited that you're on the show.
Well, thank you for the kind words, because that's always the goal. I always feel like the secret name should be like, please be my friend, should be the show. And I like to invite people on that I want to be their friends with. But no, I've been doing this show for 4 years. I've had writers from The Simpsons, Mary Tyler Moore Show, iZombie. I've had actors. I just had a couple iZombie people, so that was really cool. I've had actors from iZombie, Luke Cage, Mr. Robot. I mean, just like, I don't know, I've just had comedians, actors, podcasters, so many really cool people. And like, sometimes I look back and like, oh my God, I did that? Musicians, you know, anyone out there, if you want to talk to your heroes at a certain level, start a podcast, because I'm a huge music fan, and I grew up in like the, I was in high school in the 2000s, and when like the emo punk hardcore scene and where I was, and I got to talk to people from that world, like Matt Pryor of the Get Up Kids or Nathan Gray from Boy Sets Fire, and being like, oh my God, 16-year-old me does not believe this is happening. So it's crazy. But yeah, it's a really fun show, and it's just a couple people just hanging out.
It amazes me how you do get a lot of these big star actors. Getting like one of the main co-stars from iZombie to appear on your show, I was like kind of floored by that. I'm floored by
me too. Just let me throw that one out there. Me too.
Yeah. See,
That was, man. So, and you were so nice. So I kind of abruptly ended my show, dealing with some life stuff, some trauma, and then when I finally was like, I'm gonna bring the show back, I was like, I want to talk to someone who would be super easy to talk to, so I invited you on. So you're actually my like confidence booster, because if that didn't go well, it's gonna call it quits. And it went well, and then I did a couple episodes, and then all of a sudden, I landed one of my biggest episodes with Raul Coley of who's in iZombie, and he's got a new movie coming out with Ben Schwartz on Netflix. And it's not fair, because this is to tell anyone this, it was literally the easiest setup for anything I've ever done in my entire podcast career, if you call it that.
It should be that way. It should be just a quick little like, hey, contact. I believe you just had to just contact their representative. I don't know.
I'll give it away. I don't care. Okay. I literally did everything you're supposed to do. I set my pinch. I emailed all his representatives, and then as a last resort, I sent a nice tweet to him. On January 15th, I can remember this perfectly, and then, you know, and then I just sent a tweet, hey man, love to have you on the show, there's any way, what's the best way to contact you? No, don't expect anything at all. literally get a direct message that just says, let's do this. And my amazing wife basically picked up our daughter on her birthday and made sure I could have that time at like 4:30 in the afternoon to record the podcast. And like the stars aligned. We set it up in under 24 hours. I figured it would be 30 minutes. And he talked to me for an hour and a half and it got deep. And it's one of my favorite podcasting experiences. I won't lie. Like, and I'm a huge fan of that show. If anyone's ever watched it, terrible name, really good show. I promise you, it's a very good show, but it's just a terrible name.
Gotcha. Well, they had a call with the Compass, and yes, based on your discussion, I did start watching it.
So, nice.
Yes, I'm very intrigued, but there's like so many other shows that I'm watching, and too much other things to cover. It's hard to like get into shows right away. But I did watch at least the first couple episodes, and I plan on watching more. But I think it was your interview you had with either Juliet Miranda or her husband David. And how he actually gives good tips about how to get guests
They are the two nicest people.
Yeah.
And David and literally made a YouTube tutorial of how to contact guests. And if you don't believe it works, look at their lineup. They had Leia Thompson on their show.
Yeah. And like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Juliet Miranda, she hosts the the Unreadable Rant. Yep, Unreadable Rant podcast. And she's a great podcaster. And I heard her on one of your shows, which made me want to go back. Based on your interview with her, I was saying to check out her other podcasts, and everything was just all nice and free-forming. Now, I've known Chris because Chris has interviewed other people from the Lamb Podcast Network site. He's interviewed a good friend, Bubble Wheat, and a few other podcasters that I know. And so I got basically connected with his show because of other people that I know be on his show and him interviewing other people and everything. And so I got really into his show. But his show is not like a normal formal chit-chat show. It's like not a normal formal interview show, which I really dig about it.
Thank you so much. And Bubba Wheat, if you're listening, hello. I miss you. He's such a nice guy.
Oh, extremely nice guy. You know, he does have a great podcast, which I hear is coming back soon. I know he's has some other stuff going on, but he's getting back into podcasting, so I really can't wait for new episodes of Filmwise.
Yeah, he's I like that guy. Nathan.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. My memory, I have a baby at home, so my memory is disappearing.
It's okay. It's all right, man. Well, just tell listeners out there where we can find your show.
Sure. I'm on all the things, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at Let's Chat Podcast. And I'm a part of the Core Temp Arts Network, coretemparts.com. So make sure you check out the website. And as of right now, it's a bi-monthly show. It used to be weekly for about 4 years, and then children changed that. So
yep.
Two a month. But here's the promise I made to myself. Instead of having like a weekly show and every like few guests have like a big name, I'm only going to have people on that I just absolutely diehard I care about. And so far, it's been you and Kevin from Everything is Awesome, and then Rahul Kohli, an actor from iZombie, and Bob Dearden, who is a writer for iZombie. Those are all people I just wanted to talk to. And
I feel kind of honored right now trying to be in the same level as well as the guest right there. Yeah. I'm very humbled and honored about that.
So it's going to be meaningful, and it's going to be effortless for me.
Nice.
So hopefully some cool stuff coming down the pipeline, but, you know, we'll see.
All right. Well, let's get into our discussion, but before we do, as always, we are going to take a small break, play some ads from some other great podcast shows, and then we'll be back to talk about some of our favorite childhood moments.
We'll return after these messages.
Introducing Core Temp Arts, a new podcast network for the pop culture fan in you. From in-depth TV analysis and humorous life rankings to provocative and witty discussions, Core Temp Arts is bringing you the engaging topics you can't miss.
That Pop This Life is where we talk about pop culture, life, and the ridiculousness of it all.
Talking Shondaland, covering the latest of Shonda Rhimes' TV shows.
On Week at 5, we list our top 5 favorites with a new topic every week.
So, join the conversation, coretemparts.com.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Hello, welcome to Talking Stars. I am your host, Darren from Movie Reviews 101 and the wonderful world of YouTube. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Damien Riley.
Hi there, it's me, Damien Riley, from Riley on Film and the Damien Riley Podcast. I'm a co-host here with Darren. You can listen to us on Podomatic at talkingstarspodcast.podomatic.com, on iTunes, and most other places you find podcasts. Oh, and be sure to follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is TalkingStarsBit. I hope you enjoy the show.
Thank you, everyone, for sticking with us here at Cinema Recall over at thatmomentin.com. For this episode, like I said, we're going to get into favorite childhood moments. But there's one thing I want to ask you, Chris. Do you remember the first movie you ever saw? Like, either in theater or at home, do you remember the first movie you ever saw?
No.
That you...
I don't know if this is accurate, but the earliest memory... The earliest one I can remember is Bambi.
Okay.
I'm sure I probably saw stuff before that, but that was the one because it was so traumatizing.
Oh, jeez.
I remember. So I'm 33. I was born in 1984. I don't remember if I saw it in theaters. So I don't remember any of that stuff. But I remember everyone in elementary school also being so sad when the mom died and just being like, you know what? No. Maybe we could check the dates. It's either that or Land Before Time would be the first two, one of the first two I would have watched.
Both are kind of traumatic movies right there. I mean, they both have kind of traumatic moments there. I mean,
yeah. I think Bambi might be the one I remember the most, and just like for the and just like everyone in school talking about it. We were so sad.
People were cruel back to us kids back then, right?
Oh my god, like even now it's hard.
Yeah, I imagine so. For me, I do remember the first movie I saw in theaters, and I know I told the story on other shows, but I never told it here, but the first movie I remember seeing was Fantasia, and we went to a theater.
Ooh.
I went to a theater where it was just one screen, the whole theater. It was not like like most theaters are now, where it's like multiple theaters. No, this was just one building, one screen. It was like a circular type theater, and you walked in there. There were like balconies up in the sides, and it looked like a concert hall.
That sounds beautiful.
And there was like these red velvet curtains that were there, and there was like a small area. It looked like a pit by the stage, and those red velvet curtains opened up, and we watched Fantasia, and I could have sworn there was like a band playing in that pit. And that's what I thought it was. I thought it was a live band playing to these animated visuals. And when Mickey Mouse came up to the conductor at the end of Sorcerer's Apprentice, I really thought that he was there, that Mickey Mouse came. Now, keep in mind, too, I had been about probably age of six or seven, and I fully remember watching that movie in theaters. That was like probably my first movie experience ever. And I think about a year or so later, I do remember my mom taking me to go see Ghostbusters.
Because
she was a big Bill Murray fan. But that opening sequence with the librarian, I was like, alright, I'm out of here. I ran out the aisle so fast. My mom had to come and grab me and had to assure me that it's going to be okay, it's going to be funny. And it was, because Slimer was there. I liked Slimer, but...
Yeah. If I'm allowed to digress for a quick second,
sure.
I know we kind of talked about this on Twitter. I don't know how old I was. Me and my brother were trying to figure it out. I must be like 6 or 7. So I grew up next to Wesleyan University, and my dad, who I like to throw... I don't know if he'll ever hear this, but he's notoriously cheap. But he would always take us to cultural things. I think it's to save money because, like, the college would play it like years or months later or whatever. And we saw Fantasia, and I was terrified for some reason. I don't know why.
I bet it was a nail on Bald Mountain. That is a very scary moment.
Yeah, and I also think it, and then I watched it again when I got like a teenager. I was like, this movie sucks. So if you watch Archer, I want to be like, spoiler alert, it sucks. So I have not seen it since, but I remember like having a passionate hatred for that movie.
I can totally see, because there's like, there is no plot. There's absolutely no plot. It's just visuals. And I think if I did not see this movie in a theater, because I thought it was like an orchestra, I had to be like six or seven. I at least had to know the concept of music, all right? So I had to be probably 7 or 8 years old when I do remember it. But I know it wasn't my first time I ever saw anything. It was like on this big, huge screen, and I was just totally just taken. But if I didn't see it in a arena like that, I would probably just think it's just stupid and dumb and boring. But I think that had to do with where I was in that. But my folks always just try to bring us kids to certain movies. I think after I saw Ghostbusters, a couple of years later, I saw a movie called Transylvania Since 5000 with Ed Begley Jr. and Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis.
Ed Begley Jr. was on The Unwritable Rant. Just throwing it out there.
Really? Okay, yeah. That's badass. But
I never heard of that movie. Sorry. Okay.
The only thing I had a bit about 8, 7, but I just remember Gina Davis wearing this very revealing costume, and it's kind of weird when you're like that young of an age thinking about girls that way. But I just remember her just wearing this outfit, and my dad liked the outfit, so he says, "Well, let's go see the movie." All right, so it was just me and him going to see this comedy about these two, like, it's a very kind of bad, they play detectives trying to investigate, I guess, this crime going on in Transylvania. It's got Dracula, the Wolfman. It's kind of forgettable. I have not seen it since I saw it in theaters, and I just never looked for it again. I don't know why, but I should do that. But that's one of my, I'm talking about theatrical childhood moments there. But kind of get into your, like I said before, we don't actually have a list here. I mean, sure. I've got like a few kind of memorable stuff that I remember that me and my sister and my folks watched. But I just kind of want to ask you there, Chris, do you have like some good memories that you remember? And we're kind of keeping this list small here. We're kind of going from like the age of like when you're first born to probably like 13, 14 years old.
Yeah, I have some pretty cool. The one, I have an awesome aunt, Elaine. Hello. I doubt you know how to use a podcast, so. she took my brother and I to see Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, and everyone dressed up like Ninja Turtles, and I will never forget that.
That's cool.
However old, but that was like probably the first time I ever saw like people like were dressed up. Like, they were like, I don't know, were adults into that? Or was it a kids thing? But, full on, like, cosplay, but, like, you know, just I was in my Ninja Turtles pajamas and stuff like that. Like, it was that kind of thing.
Oh, I remember when that first movie came out, that was a huge deal. I do fully remember seeing that movie in theaters when I was a kid and just totally loving it. And I've not actually seen the other movies. I just have not.
The first one is really good.
Yeah, if I just...
The first one's like a film noir.
Yeah.
The second one's not good, but I love it because I saw it as a kid.
Yeah,
exactly. And it really makes you want pizza.
Well, of course.
Do you remember the opening sequence in New York and they're just all eating pizza?
And the second one or the first one?
The second one.
I don't think I've ever seen the second one.
It's not good, but the first one's actually very good. Like, it still holds up like a good movie.
Yeah.
The second one's pretty cheesy. And then the third one is... where is it? Like, they go to Asia? Somewhere in Asia? I think they go to Japan?
Yeah, but it's like they go like back in time, too.
Yeah, I know. It was weird. And then the Michael Bay reboots. The second one was actually really good. The Out of the Shadows.
Actually, I like that one. I do like that one a little bit better than the first one. Yes.
I was trying to. I saw in someone. It's not good, but it's good in the way the first Transformers movie is good.
Yeah, it's a slight improvement, all right, but still wasn't the whole.
It's fun.
Yeah, I can kind of forgive that one a little bit there, but I know they made the second one just a little bit more goofy. Like the first one is kind of dark.
Okay, I had no interest in that, but I really like the show Arrow, so I was like, oh, Stephen Amell, I'll check it out.
No, I'm sorry, I'm talking about the first, the original 1990 movie.
Oh, yeah, that one's darker. Really good. That one is super, it's not even a kid's movie.
No, because they're
it's so weird, with Casey Jones.
Yeah, here's the thing, too, they're trying to make it more like the original comic book, because the original comic book was a little bit more darker, and that's the kind of the tone for it. But people, when a lot of parents went to watch it with their kids, they thought it was going to be like the TV show.
Yeah, I watched the cartoon. So like a little kind of cool thing, so the Ninja Turtles creator or whatever, they're from Northampton, Massachusetts, and so my grandmother, who recently passed away, she was a Smith College alumni. So as a kid, she'd bring me up to Smith College to do whatever stuff she would do, which would usually turn into it'd be a museum. It was all pretty cool. And then the bottom floor was like arcade games, all the arcade games and pinball machines, and they're all free. And I could just run around them. It was basically Ninja Turtles arcade, and I would just go there, and they would just give me like a stack of quarters, and I would just like run through, look at the costumes, look at the art, and then just go play the video game for hours in pinball.
Oh, that is awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they like East Midlard.
I don't think it's been there for years, but that's one of my favorite memories. And you know those things like your parents and your grandparents do for you that they don't think twice about? Like they do all this stuff for you and you don't remember any of it, and then it's like, but what about that time we played pinball? They're like, what? It was the best!
But I will say this, though. The original Turtles movie did give us Sam Rockwell's first role. So
no.
Sam Rockwell, he plays the guy that works for the Foot Clan. He's, like, handing out a pair of cigarettes to them.
That dude's in everything.
I know, right? So he got to start somewhere, so he got to start.
And he's finally getting his recognition with Three Billboards, which I did not see. But
I will see that one soon.
I love him in Galaxy Quest.
Oh, Galaxy Quest, so good. Yes.
Perfect. It might be perfect.
Now, you may be different for this, Chris, but I know growing up with me and my friends, we had like a select group of movies that I watched. And with my sister, I had a select group of movies that I watched with her. Now, with my sister, we only had one TV in the house, so we basically had to share a lot of what we watched.
Oh, yeah, same here. Are you older or younger?
I'm younger.
Same here. I'm the younger of an older brother, so I just would watch whatever he would watch.
I'm the same way, too. I had an older sister, so we watched a lot of, like, girl shows, because that's what she's into, all right? So we watched a lot of Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And we did watch a lot of Cry Kid, which I was kind of surprised. Watched Cry Kid, watched a lot of Adventures in Babysitting, watched a lot of, like, Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because she was big into that. I think for me, I still have fond memories of my sister watching Adventures in Babysitting. And I didn't realize how dark that movie actually was until I rewatched it recently, because I thought it was being kind of a lighthearted comedy, and it is for the most part, but there is some kind of like really risky stuff. I had no idea there was like semi-nudity in there, and there's like language, and
the 80s/90s. The 80s, yeah. It's just like, if you like watch some of that stuff, even like Revenge of the Nerds, like there's some scenes you're like, this is like basically rape.
I know, right? Well, I did look kind of a pass. Well, I'm not giving the movie a pass, but the movie is rated R, and I did not see the movie until I remember seeing the movie a lot when I was like kind of a kid growing up on like regular broadcast TV.
Yeah, same here. That would be something I wouldn't have seen until it came to like Comedy Central or the Ha Network. Well, we didn't have cable, so I don't even know what I would have saw it on.
But it was like watching that movie. I watched a lot, like, Sixteen Candles.
Yeah, I never saw any of
with my sister.
I guess I'm going to be so embarrassed. I feel like we grew up with such bad taste.
No. My sister, but I think I rewatched that movie again recently, and, like, there's a lot of questionable stuff in that movie, too. Like, some guy gets his girlfriend drunk, and then has another guy seduce her and sleep with her. Yeah, it's twisted. But there is, like I said before, there is actually is nudity, but it's like teenage nudity. And back when I was like 11 or 10, it was kind of like titillated and fun. And now, near my 40s here, I'm like, all right, I'm a little disturbed slightly by this.
Yeah. What's the age difference between you and your sister?
We're 4 years apart.
Oh, yeah, so my brother, same here, we're like 4.5 years.
Yeah.
So, because I was always watching, like, we watched The Rock a lot.
Oh, nice.
We watched Face Off a lot. I don't think my parents would even know about this, but, like, we watched Face Off a lot. Something Rising Sun?
Oh, I don't know that. With Sean Connery and Wesley Snipes, I think it was.
Yes, like, he had all these videotapes. I don't know if he hit him or I don't know, but we would watch. I mean, we watched The Rock 100 times. I'm not even kidding you. And, like, I hate being that person, like, back then, but, you know, because it was just more of, like, you only can watch what you own.
Yeah.
Or unless you had to, like, go to a video store, which don't really exist anymore.
I know.
Oh, also, here's something funny I should probably let everyone know. My Uncle Greg was the owner of a couple of video stores in the Boston area. So he, for our Christmas gifts and stuff, he'd always just give us the free movies he got from the movie store. Wait for it. He hated movies and knew nothing about film. He was like the business person.
Oh.
So he would give us, like, Carrot Top's Head of the Class 1 year, and then next year would be The Nightmare Before Christmas, because he had no idea what was what.
Oh, funny.
I mean, just garbage. And then he would give me all this merchandise. Like, I literally had a Carrot Top alarm clock, and then, like, a Ronin t-shirt, like a swimming pool, like, shirt, you know, stuff like,
oh, nice. Yeah,
stuff that doesn't exist. Yeah, but he never did it for anything good, because he had no idea what existed. Like, he had no clue. So, but sometimes he would let us go through it, rummage through his house, because he had thousands of VHS tapes, and he had Blank Check. I remember that was one we would watch a lot.
Oh, funny. Gosh. Yeah, well, what you would have with your brother is something that I had with one of my good friends, Josh, actually, growing up. Me and my friend Josh, he was, like, practically was my other brother, and we played, like, Legos. But I do remember that him and I were a big fan of a lot of the same movies. And the main movies that we watched a lot were the first two RoboCops. Watched those a lot. This is back when I was, like, you know, 10, 11 years old.
Nice.
We watched Die Hard a lot. Remember seeing that one a lot. I also remember seeing Little Shop of Horrors a lot. And it had to be the dentist scene. Steve Martin was probably our funniest favorite part of that movie. We also watched Muppets Take Manhattan.
Yes, I was obsessed with the Muppets.
And I still am,
actually.
I am too, but I have not really seen all the other older movies. I think the Muppets Take Manhattan was the first one.
Yeah, because I didn't see the Muppet movie, like, the first one, until a few years ago.
Yeah. I think it was mainly the sequence when they show the baby Muppets. Because I've seen the cartoon show Muppet Babies.
Yeah, same here.
For, like, a while ago, and I was just so excited that they had a movie with them, too. So that I remember seeing that a lot, because I was a big fan of that TV show.
Yeah, Muppets Take Manhattan was, like, my entire childhood.
See?
And because I would watch, like, somehow I had access to the Muppet Show. I don't know how. At my grandparents' house, if they videotaped it, or I don't know how we watched, but yeah, we watched a lot of Muppet Show. Anything Muppet related, I was all about. Muppet Christmas Carol, Muppets Space, Muppets, some of the Muppet Treasure Island my dad took me to see.
Oh, nice.
Can I tell you about a really weird movie experience I had?
Okay, please do.
So we had like a second run theater in the town next to, which they still exist, right? Yeah, there's one where I live now. And I don't remember the years, but like Spielberg directed or produced or whatever, but he was tied to that movie The Amistad.
Oh yeah.
So like my dad, right, you know, smart guy, I thought it was like, oh, I should between what didn't like Jurassic Park come out at the same time?
It was The Lost World.
The second one. And he was like, we should do the cultural thing and see The Amistad. And it was the most fucked up movie I've ever seen in my entire life. And I also know it's based off real life because slavery is horrible. But like, I still like, oh. I just saw Black Panther, so I was like kind of thinking of some of the stuff from The Amistad. Brilliant like film, but I don't think I should have saw it. Oh, okay, sorry, another memory. My dad took me and my brother to see Dumb and Dumber in the second run theater too.
Okay.
And I just remember him covering my eyes when he thought there was going to be boobs.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We watched a lot of Ace Ventura and a lot of Jim Carrey, like The Mask, Ace Ventura. Like, we were totally on that Jim Carrey train.
Oh, God. I'm trying to remember. Okay, I do remember speaking about parents closing their eyes. I wanted to see Weird Science.
Yes. Do you remember the TV show?
I love that TV show.
Me too. I actually think my memory is more from the TV show than the actual movie.
I like the TV. I think the TV show is very kind of underrated, but I remember when that movie came out, I definitely wanted to see that. I saw the images of Kelly LeBrock, and gosh, I must have been just going on 10, which is,
I think,
is kind of...
Yeah. I think I slept over a friend's house, and we had snuck a copy of Weird Science thinking we'd see her naked.
And you don't. That's the funny thing.
You don't. I mean, I know this is going to sound weird, but like at that, you know, internet must have existed, but not in homes as frequently as by that age. So like pornography, like Seinfeld has a whole bit about that. But like it was like hard to get pornography. It was a lot harder to see a naked lady when you're a teenager than it is now.
Hey, and, I remember the times we had cable boxes and there were channels that had scramble porn.
The scramble porn or... Yep. So, or, like, we would find, like, a dirty magazine in the woods behind our house or something, and it was, like, the whole neighborhood would have, like, a meeting about it.
Oh, my God. I was on a show with Jason Soto. He's the host of Lair of the Unwanted, and he does host a new podcast called Soto Pop, and I was on his podcast, Soto Pop, and he mentions the same thing, too. He mentions how people found porn outside the woods.
Yeah, and it was, like, a big deal. But, like, yeah, I remember Weird Science. I wonder if the person's mom knew we even had it, but we thought it was so cool. And, like, we're like, we're going to see a naked woman. And, like, oh, my God. Ugh. Well, good movie, though.
Here's the weird thing, okay, with my folks. So I wanted to see Weird Science, like, really bad, all right? And my mom didn't have an issue. My parents rented it. They watched it first. My mom didn't see anything wrong with it, so she said it was okay for me to watch it. But then I got in trouble because I wasn't supposed to watch it because my dad thought it was not acceptable for me to watch. And I remember there being kind of a slight little argument because I think they both decided that I was supposed to watch it, but I think my mom said it was okay anyways, and I remember them kind of arguing slightly about it. But here's the weird thing, too. Is that the following like month I got stuck with the chicken pox, and my mom rented for me The Shining.
I know. Isn't it funny how many horror like it would always be like parents with well intention would always try to keep sex movies away from us, and then somehow I'd be like, at summer camps, like at the YMCA sleepover night, they showed us like. Silence of the Lamb when I was like 11 or 12 because we couldn't watch a movie that had like a nipple in it. And I was terrified. I can tell you another really embarrassing story.
Go ahead.
I remember sleeping over a friend's house for his birthday party, and we watched Ghost Dad with Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
And I was terrified of that movie because I was terrified of ghosts at that point in my life. So, I didn't watch anything scary or horror.
You know what?
I was always just – and then – but, you know, I'm vindicated years later because look what a monster that guy is.
Exactly, okay, so it's okay to be scared of a Bill Cosby movie because of what he's done, so that's just...
I had nightmares about ghosts because of that movie. I mean, I was a very sensitive kid, I guess.
I must have been desensitized to like, movies, especially slasher movies, because my sister watched A Nightmare on Elm Street a lot, especially when she had, like, friends over, and... being the fact that we only had one TV in the house, and I kind of wanted to seem like the cool kid, because, you know, my sister was older, she had older friends, and, you know, some of the girls she brought home with her were kind of cute, and I wanted to be known as, like, hey, I'm cool, I can handle this. So I tried, like, you know, stay with them and watching the first Freddy Krueger movie, and I'm trying my best not to be terrified, especially at the moment when she picks up the phone, there's that tongue that comes out, and that voice and kind of the dark... This is when Freddy Krueger wasn't the comic, lovable jokester that most people know him from. No, Freddy Krueger, the first day on Elm Street, was just terrifying. And I had a hard time falling asleep when that movie came on. And I do remember seeing the first one and the second one, both on VHS, with my sister and her friends. And then again, my sister would watch Xanadu. And I remember growing up there, I was a big fan of Xanadu. I really kind of enjoyed it. It's got animation from Don Bluth. Electric Light Orchestra does the soundtrack. There's a great sequence in the beginning where like skaters come out of the wall and everything. And like, I'm kind of going off the walls here. I'm going off the rails here. I love this. I'm going from Nightmare on Elm Street to Xanadu. But I'll ask you, Chris, do you remember like kind of having like family movie nights growing up? Did you guys have that?
Oh yeah, big time. And probably a lot of Disney. Well, you know what? Naked Guns were like our Star Wars. You know?
You watched like the whole trilogy of Naked Guns movies?
100,000 times.
That's not a bad thing, actually.
My dad and mom, like, we're all just comedy people, and like, but yeah, I watched that a lot. I remember watching like a John Goodman movie where he played Babe Ruth, and my dad cried. And I remember it being like a big deal, and I think he doesn't want me saying that out loud, but he will never hear this.
No.
Do you remember? Was it called Babe?
It was Babe.
John Goodman was just in everything.
Yeah.
And then we would go on vacation to Cape Cod when I was a kid, and they had a drive-in, so they'd always want us to have that like drive-in experience. I remember seeing Mystery Men and Bowfinger, two movies that people probably rightfully so had forgotten about, but at the time thinking they were the most amazing things I've ever saw in my life.
I remember those movies. I remember seeing them.
That was a double feature.
It was. Oh, you did? Okay.
So like, it was weird. It's a weird pairing to go from Ben Stiller to Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin, but I remember loving those movies big time. But yeah, I think everyone did. I mean, I hate like being nostalgic for stuff, but like it was like a thing. So like, you went to the video store and like you picked out a movie. Like it was always an event. We had like local stores. We had Mad Mike's Video in Wallingford, Connecticut, we had the Video Box in Meriden right by my parents' house, and then that eventually closed. But we used to know the owner, and we'd go in and always try to sneak into the adult section. It was always the game, and then you'd rent a video game if you were good or whatever. But yeah, I remember it was always like it was like a whole experience, like going to the movie store with your parents. Like I had vivid memories of going into like, we had this one video store. God, I haven't thought about this in years. Thank you for this is kind of fun. I remember this one video store that I think eventually closed, but they like heavily invested into Laserdisc, and boy were they wrong. And then they would refuse to invest into DVDs, and I think they tanked because of it.
Here's a cool thing too. I just picked up, one of my friend's dad was giving away a bunch of Laserdiscs, and I took them on it though because I still own a player. And I have like a good like 15 titles, but he gave me over 100 titles, and I've got some good ones. I've got like all the original Star Trek movies. I've got like, the special edition of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh yeah, anything Robin Williams, by the way. I mean, come on, every Robin Williams movie I saw 1,000 times. Everyone.
Like, last night I watched like Spaceballs. That was another movie too that I watched with my friend Josh. We watched Spaceballs like a million times. So
I like Spaceballs more than I like Star Wars.
I do too. And I love Star Wars.
I like Star Wars as of the... I don't come into it until The Force Awakens, so now I love it.
Okay, I get that here. But yeah, I got copies of, like, Casper and Fifth Element.
Oh, Casper! I don't think that ever made it to DVD.
I don't think it did either.
Christina Ricci. I had such a crush on her.
Oh, God, yeah. I know, right? Oh, yeah. I had a crush on her from The Addams Family.
That holds up.
That does surprisingly hold up there, yeah.
That and, like, the Brady Bunch movie are, like, such a unique twist on that sitcom movie. Like, did you ever see the Brady Bunch movie?
I did. I really enjoyed the first Brady Bunch movie a lot.
It's really fucking funny. Oh, my God. I remember my mom taking me to see the stupid Tom Arnold movie, and it wasn't her fault, but we loved the show Roseanne, and it was like, oh, my God, what was it called? The Stupids?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, I'm My Own Uncle was the song. I haven't thought about any of this stuff in so long. It's so funny.
But someone tells, too, is stuff that I have never seen before, too. We got, like, one... I've never seen Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Oh, really? I love those movies.
I've seen Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and I saw that movie in theaters. I remember going to see Honey, I Shrunk the Kids in theaters because I wanted to see the Roger Rabbit short. Because I'm such a big fan of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, dude, I still am. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. It's perfect.
Like, I remember being in the theater with my dad watching that movie. I remember the smell of popcorn. I remember the theater that we went and saw it in wasn't a big fancy theater. See, where I grew up, there were, like, two theaters. There was, like... I call one the Brown Theater and one theater the White Theater. The Brown Theater was a little bit nicer. It had better seats. The staff was better. The floors were clean. And over at the White Theater, the floors were a mess. The projector didn't always work all the time. And that's where we saw both of our movies that we had, two movie houses. And I remember we went and saw Back to the Future... at
Crown
Theater, and that one was such a... We were all there. We used to do, like, family movie nights every couple weeks. So I remember seeing Back to the Future there.
Oh, yeah.
That was the same theater where I think I saw Ghostbusters a while back there. And I remember my dad taking me to go see Gremlins 2.
Yes, that was a good one.
We saw the one at the Bad Theater, and there's a moment when the projector, like, breaks up, and the gremlins appear, and they're doing a bunch of shadow puppets. But when the film broke up, I really thought that that was happening for real, because that type of shit happens at that theater. Because, keep this in mind, folks, especially for all you listeners out there, we're talking about movies when they actually used reel-to-reel, like, actually real film, and it was projected through a lens. It wasn't digital. Like, everything now is digital. We actually grew up in a time when they show stuff on film, and a lot of times films broke up. That's just what they do. Oh,
I know. Remember the stupid, like, just, yeah, oh my God, I forgot about that.
And before, you see, a lot of times before movies, they didn't have, like, these ads, shows.
Yeah, it used to just be previews. And that was relatively only, like, maybe 10 years ago. They just started doing, like, more and more and more and more and more of it.
Well, I just remember a time when they would play, like, trivia before.
I even remember when trivia started. That before that, it used to literally just be preview. And then that, like, let's all go to the lobby song.
Yeah, I didn't have that there. My theme was just basically, it was like a slideshow of, like, ads, yeah, followed by a trivia question, followed by another ad, and then the previews would begin, alright? But do you have, like, any, like, I'll tell you some of my favorite, like, actual being in a theater moments when I was a kid, but do you have, like, any favorite moments of you watching a movie in a theater when you were the kid, when you were a kid? We're keeping this from the ages of, like, when you're first born to probably 12, 13. Do you have any fond memories of being with your family or
any
friends?
Oh, yeah, tons.
Tons.
Well, so,
can you name one?
This is a bad movie, but okay, it was a good experience. Okay. The first PG-13 movie I got to see with my friends, where I got to go with my friends and not with my parents. The first movie I went to go see with my like all my neighborhood friends, we all like went to the theater without our parents for the first time. I grew up with a lot of kids and they were all older, so I think I must have been 12, but I saw Mortal Kombat.
And oh, nice.
I remember thinking it was like the coolest thing in the whole world of going to a movie without my mom and dad. And I think my older brother was with me and like our neighborhood. It was like all the neighborhood kids went to see Mortal Kombat. But my parents, yeah, they took us to lots of good stuff and art films and probably some stuff I hated. But, I mean, I remember – I still feel like I get that feeling of like when I first time I saw Toy Story in theaters. I still get that feeling every time
from
that movie.
Oh, you lucky guy, you. Damn it. Yeah. I would have loved to see that one. And I didn't actually watch a lot of Disney movies.
Oh, yeah, I saw all of them.
I don't know what it was, but I never actually – even growing up there, we watched a lot of Disney movies. But I remember watching them mainly on VHS. If we did go see a movie in a theater – it was usually live action. I fully remember seeing the first Batman in theaters with my dad. I saw the first two Batmans.
Oh, yeah, those Batmans were so good.
I totally remember seeing those with my dad and him and me.
Those feeling real. I remember that feeling real.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, so I have another one I just thought of. We were on vacation, and our whole family – it was like raining the whole week, and we went to see Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, walking out of the theater and all of us looking up for alien spaceships.
I'm kind of the same way, too. And that was, like, a fun, like, crowd experience. Because I remember seeing that, and it was a pretty packed crowd. And everyone got into it. And everyone was just, like, being scared when the aliens attacked and cheered when we got revenge. And it's
really you would run around and hit your friends and be like, "Welcome to Earth, bitch!" It was that kind of movie.
Yeah, I rewatched it recently because it was on TV, and although it was still cool, it just did not have the same effect. Like when I first saw it, I thought this was such a cool big thing. You know what happened was is that this happened like before 9/11. You know, mm-hmm. I just sound like all political, but once we actually did see stuff being split for real,
yeah, the White House getting blown up felt different.
It did actually, so yeah, it just I just different times than two, but I just totally remember being there, seeing that. Keeping things more lighthearted, there, I totally remember watching Howard the Duck in theaters.
Yes. I never saw it in theaters, but that's a cult classic.
I do remember seeing that movie in theaters and not really understanding any of the sensual innuendo when I first saw it. And I'm still kind of amazed at the stuff that my mom watched me.
My sister-in-law, like, genuinely loves that movie. And I don't mean that as an insult, because she's like the only other person I knew who actually loved that movie. Not ironically, like just genuinely loves it.
I was so happy when I got to meet Leah Thompson and she signed my copy.
You got to meet Leah Thompson?
I got to meet Leah because she was in town for – she was promoting a movie called The Year of Spectacular Men that she wrote and directed. And she
recently, right?
Yeah, she premiered that at the Twin Cities Film Festival, and I got to go there to help cover that. And she was at a little luncheon before the screening, and I just walked up to her, and we just had a very nice little lighthearted conversation. And I'm like, "Look, I'd be extremely just grateful if you could sign my copy of Howard the Duck. I'd really appreciate that." And she did, and I wish I could stay and talk to her longer, but she was getting ready to go to a screening, and I didn't want to bother.
I know it's tough because you want to be respectful of people's time too.
I know, but it's tough to do. I was like, just kind of like just geeking out, but I want to know more about her movie and be respectful of that. But she had other people she was talking to, and it was tougher. I think she finally had to just say, "I gotta go." Otherwise, I would have just kept talking to her. But she was still the most nicest, sweetest person ever there too, and her daughters were there, and they were nice and sweet, too. But yeah, I remember having everything from Howard the Duck. I was big into that movie. I think I got merchandise from that movie, and I got merchandise from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and then Batman, and also the Turtles. I had everything from those movies. I remember having the soundtracks. Spaceballs was another one, too. I mean, that's even though Spaceballs didn't have any merchandise, I tried it to get as much as I could with, like,
oh, posters. I love, yeah, because Lucas wouldn't let him.
Yeah, that's the reason why he allowed them to, you know, reference some of his characters that they could not let him say in their stuff, so.
Well, I just thought of a really cool memory. I remember, it's just been me and my mom, but we saw a Goofy movie, which I still will tell you, that holds up. I think there's been, like, a resurgence of popularity with it.
That's underrated, actually. That's kind of underrated.
Yeah, did Michael Jackson do the music?
No, he did not do the music.
No, Prince.
I don't think it. I know Tevin Campbell is one of the voices.
Yeah, I think someone, like, super famous did the music. I'd have to look into it. But I remember, like, just having the chills during Powerline. Like, literally just being, like, so just enthralled in the music. And my mom, we were big music fans. So just, like, remember that movie really affecting me in a big, bad way.
Was there any, like, movie that you watched and then your parents found out you watched it and you got in trouble for it? Like, you went and saw it? Okay.
Serial Mom.
Okay, that's okay. Go ahead. Tell me that.
You ever seen that movie?
I've got my story. I've got my own story to tell you about Serial Mom.
My parents, I started watching it with my parents, and I think probably the opening scene. Actually, there's two funny things. I'll tell you two different. That and then Mallrats. But, the opening scene, there's probably boobs or something, so they kicked me out of the room, so I didn't get to watch it. And I think they, like, went out the next day, and I secretly watched it, thinking I'd see boobs, but turned out it was about a serial killer. Still, very good movie. But I think I didn't rewind the tape. And then one time, my brother and I were watching Mallrats, and for some reason, my dad, like, I don't know if we didn't know he was home, or he came in and, like, sat down right at the part where she's explaining all the book she's writing about, and days with this, I gave a blowjob, and X's or hand jobs, and just, like, being mortified, and, like, turn it off. quite a lot.
All right, I will get to my story about Serial Mom, but you are right about the Goofy movie. Powerline was a mixture of Bobby Brown, Prince, and Michael Jackson.
Oh my god, I got 2 out of 3. Bobby Brown, Prince, and Michael Jackson did
The character is a mixture of those guys, all right? I'm not saying they did the voices. Oh. I'm saying that they were a mixture of those characters.
Can you look up to who did the music for that movie?
Some check right now. Quotes,
I don't know how to do that.
Well, I'm on IMDb right now. There,
Disney sneaky. Like, I've been watching a lot of Moana, and that's the Hamilton guy.
Yeah, okay, Hamilton. Let's see. I got reviews, appearance reviews, plots, synopsis, genres, quotes, soundtrack. Okay. All right. So, like,
do you ever listen to that podcast, Let's Rewatch? I think I listened to them do a Goofy movie episode. Because them were Podstalgic, and that's where I kind of like, oh, yeah, I forgot how good that was.
I'm looking at the soundtrack here, and there's, like, really no one famous on there.
Damn, I was hoping it was, like, a secret Michael Prince thing. It's like, but don't use my name. But, yeah, no, all right. Yeah, still a great movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The only credit I see in there is the Bee Gees. I see the Bee Gees, but that's really...
Really?
Cool. Yeah, that's all there, but I'm just trying to go there. But it's funny.
We're all like,
You were talking about Serial Mom. My mom loves that movie.
It's a good movie.
We watched it together, like, as a family.
You got a good mom.
But the weird thing is, too, is that I wanted to see, like, when I was how much have I been? 13, 14, somewhere out there too. I really wanted to see the movie Bad Lieutenant, and they had a field day. They did not want me seeing that movie at all, which is weird because a month earlier I saw a movie called Kids.
Oh my god!
So yeah, they had no problem with me watching Kids, but Bad Lieutenant crossed the line.
Dude, it's so funny. I remember this is how bad pre-internet was. I remember wanting to see the Titanic because Kate Winslet was topless and sitting through 3 hours of that shit. But Kids is like a fucked up movie.
Oh, it is majorly fucked up.
God.
In fact, my mom had to rent it for me because...
She thought it was about kids, right?
At the video store, they said you had to be about a certain age. Yeah. To watch the movie, and I just wasn't at that age yet.
Was that Harmony Korine's movie?
Yeah, Harmony Korine wrote the screenplay. Larry Clark directed it. And it's to me, I think it's a good movie. It got
Rosario Dawson?
Yeah, it's Rosario Dawson's Chloe Sevigny's first movie. But yeah, it's definitely, like, very hardcore, and I was very kind of disturbed, more disturbed by that than I was watching probably Freddy Krueger. So
that's funny.
I was, when you talked about how you got trouble from watching Serial Mom, like, no, I remember watching that movie, but we had a family event watching that because my mom was such a big fan of Hairspray, which is another John Waters film.
Oh, yeah.
That she, and I remember my sister and my mom watching Hairspray a lot, and she really loved it. And so my mom worked at a video store, and she found out that Serial Mom is a new movie from the director of Hairspray. And I remember watching that movie with my folks, and the sequence where Kathleen Turner's making pornographic prank phone calls to her neighbors.
Yes.
And my mom's just like laughing hysterically, and my dad's laughing too. Like, and I, it's something that I would laugh at, but I would be afraid to laugh with them. But knowing that
you know, it was just like, I don't want to get kicked out of the room.
I don't want them to think that I've got a sick, twisted sense of humor.
And like, but I don't want them to know I know what this is. Like, yeah, I would remember sometimes, like, even like movies or even like Seinfeld, I'm like, I'd want to laugh. I'm like, I don't want them to know that I know what that is. You know what I mean? Like, there would be like an innuendo. I'm like, they shouldn't know that I know what a blowjob is, even though I'm like, however old.
Well, here's the weird thing too. I think now when we watch Serial Mom, see, at this point we got a little bit more relaxed with watching R-rated films. I think I was watching R-rated films probably by the time I was like 11 or 12. We started watching R-rated films. And I do remember there was a sequence in a movie called Balazzi Blues, and I may have talked about this before, but there's a sequence when Matthew Broderick's character gets a hooker, and they're going to have sex. And I know this because I must have been about 9, 10 years old, and this is the moment when my parents decided to give me the sex talk. So Matthew Broderick is, you know, in bed paying money for sex, and right before they get into it, my dad turns, looks at me, and he goes, so son, do you know what they're about to do? And
because he's overpaying.
Yeah. Maybe I should send your show. I don't remember now. I get my stories confused. But yeah, I told my dad that. Yeah. Well, it looks like he's overpaying for her.
Good for you. No, I didn't even know you said that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Well, I said from the looks of her, it looks like he's overpaying.
Can I ask you a question?
Shoot, yeah.
Do you remember when Showgirls came out?
Yes, I do.
Because I just listened, there's a podcast I absolutely love called Blank Check, and they just did an episode about Showgirls.
Yeah, they did all the Paul Verhoeven movies there, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I love those dudes. But like, I listened to it, and I was like, I forget. I remember, like, you couldn't even walk by the screening of it because they would black out the thing. So, like, it was, like, a thing to get a copy of Showgirls. And I remember finally being able to, like, wait. You know, you wait your parents leave. You get everything all set up. And I had, like, somehow I must have had a copy of Showgirls from my neighbor or whatever. And then watching it and being like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. There's no reason. I don't know. And NC-17 never took off because of that movie.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be like the thing. And I was like, there wasn't any sex in it.
I do remember that being kind of like taboo to have.
Yeah. Right? I mean, the cover is very sexual. Like, it's just like, it's all black and the leg and you can see side boob. And it was like Jesse Spano because I love Saved by the Bell. And I remember being like, however old, and being like, this is bad. Like, the dialogue was so bad.
It was. But you know what's funny, though? And also kind of awkward? I watched Basic Instinct with my parents.
Well, that is awkward.
I know, right? That is.
I remember, I might have been more than 14, but there was a time you can go to a rated R movie, like someone older can just buy the tickets for you, or they were just like, whatever. And then Columbine happened, and the result of that was you couldn't get into rated R movies anymore. Like, I remember, like, not being able to get in to see, like, the whole nine yards because of Columbine.
Oh, shit.
It's just a weird time because of that.
Yeah, I remember seeing – now, I do fully remember seeing Die Hard 2 in theaters, which is probably the first R-rated movie I saw in theaters, was that. And I remember I went with one of my well, I just my dad's friend, but he was also he's like a family friend of everybody. So I went with him to go see Die Hard 2, and the theaters right there, and that was probably one of the most great experiences right there. Just got to see an R-rated film, and it was a very cool thing. But then after that, I think my parents just got to be a little bit more relaxed with like R-rated films. I think the only big argument my parents ever had about me watching any type of thing sexual was Weird Science. But it was kind of I knew they argued about it, but it was kind of those arguments that they had in front of me, and then I'm sure afterwards they were fine, and that's why my mom rented me The Shining a month later. So
wow,
I think they all right. We're fine with this. The boy can kind of watch whatever he wants to, and that was weird too. Now we got like a niece as he gets older, so when every time she goes to visit the grandfolks, they watch like a bunch of like scary movies. So they watched like the whole Scream series.
Oh yeah, I hated those movies.
And she enjoys those. She watched movies that I was scared of, like Jaws. She had no problem watching Jaws, and I was terrified for years after watching that fucking shark. Oh, but yeah, we talked about everything on the show here.
Yeah, man. I mean, I guess anything you could think of, though, like Sandlot, Flintstones movie, anything Disney, Toy Story, Lion King, all that stuff. I'm like that age. I have nothing unique to offer. I just watch the same stuff everyone else watched.
We told some like good experiences of like movies and like watching stuff with their parents, something like that.
Yeah, it was fun.
I know this show was about watching like into like childhood like moments of movies right there, but I think this was a lot of fun. I just said before it was going to be kind of a very fun, freeform show. But
very nostalgic. You made me think of stuff I haven't thought of in years. Like you unlocked stuff from my brain, which I really appreciate.
That's what I do. I like to be the key master, I guess, and just kind of like tap into your mind there. But yeah, I think that's probably going to wrap up this episode of Cinema Recall. But Chris, thank you so much, man, for coming on here with me and chatting with me.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate this buddy. Amazing. Thanks for being a guest and the kind words on my show. And then, unlocking all those memories is so cool because, like, I definitely have this problem where I'm like, I don't remember anything. And then, like, so it was cool. Like, I was like, it made me very happy.
Oh, that's what we're here to do, folks. We're here to make the guests feel happy and safe and just warm and fuzzy all over, so I appreciate that very much. Maybe can you tell listeners what's coming up next for Let's Chat with Revell and Friends? Anything new on the horizon?
Yeah, the last two episodes have been people from iZombie, and then I actually am in the process of trying to book some cool guests. If you guys know anyone cool, let me know.
Well, definitely, yeah. And where can they find you on the whole social media, the whole online? Where can they...
Yeah. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all easy, at Let's Chat Podcast, and then CoreTempArts.com is my wonderful network, and they have a lot of great podcasts on there. And I'm pretty active. Like Twitter is probably the thing I use the most.
Nice. As for like Cinema Recall, I know. Well, this week we're doing this episode, and then next week we'll do another Terror Tuesday post. We do have the voted results for the Paul Thomas Anderson poll that we did a while back, and the winner of the poll, surprisingly to me, is Punch Drunk Love. So
really,
we're gonna find a guest to talk about. That's the movie that was picked when I looked at the poll. It's between a lot of people voted for Punch Drunk Love.
So there you go.
That's the movie that we're gonna be discussing. I'm sure we're gonna be discussing about other Paul Thomas Anderson features. We're still looking for a guest, so if you are interested to be on that show, please contact us. You can contact us on Twitter at @cinema_recall. Email us, cinemarecall@gmail.com. Go check out all of our episodes over at thatmomentin.com. We're like on Stitcher, Podomatic, iTunes, Player FM, whole bunch of the places. But again, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you to our great guest, Chris Revell of Let's Chat with Revell and Friends. We will be back with another episode, like I said before, soon. And I hope you all have a great night. And if you have your own favorite movie memories, let us know, okay?
Yeah, right. At us.
Yes. All right.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much today, guys.